Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming to keep online with the wonderful things we were talking about before most of us had breakfast. I'm going to take everyone back to dung. The topic of my talk is the effects of veterinary parasiticides on the emergence of colonizing dung fauna and pasture quality. The question our research aims to address is how do pesticides impact the environment? We looked at western rangeland in central Washington, and we specifically looked at the dung insect community and how it is affected by veterinary parasiticides. Some studies have shown that veterinary parasiticides in the macrocyclobacterium class are metabolized and excreted in feces. These studies have also shown that the highest concentration of veterinary parasiticide residues are excreted in the feces close to the time of application, and then they taper off in the following weeks. The dung insect community that we were interested in is composed of coprophagous beetles, coprophagous flies, predatory beetles, predatory flies, and parasitoid wasps. Studies that have been done to assess the question, what are the effects of veterinary parasiticide residues on non-target dung-dwelling insect species, have come up with mixed results. We have some studies that have shown that veterinary parasiticide residues negatively impact dung-dwelling insect species, and other studies have shown that there are no such negative impacts on these insects. Some of the factors that lead to these disparate results are climatic conditions of the region, scale of application of veterinary parasiticides, as well as the number of animals that are treated. Our hypothesis for our experiment was that dung-containing veterinary parasiticide residues will negatively impact the numbers of emergence of adult insects. We expect to see lower rates of emergence in control dung in comparison to ivermectin dung and dormectin dung. We also expected to see a greater reduction in the number of emerging insects close to the time of treatment with veterinary parasiticides. We also expected to see no difference in herd. I will explain my experiment in greater detail in the following slides, and I'm going to start with this slide, which explains the factors that we use in our experiment. We included veterinary parasiticides, which we had 3 levels, time, which we had 8 levels, and herd, of which we had 2 levels. This yielded a 3x8x2 factorial design. We replicated by individual cow, and our response variable was the numbers of emerging dung-dwelling fauna. Here we show 2 separate herds that were treated with formulations of 2 commonly used veterinary parasiticides. Each herd was divided into a control treatment group, a dormectin treatment group, and an ivermectin treatment group. While the control group received no treatment of veterinary parasiticides, the dormectin and ivermectin groups both received a topical application at the label rate of 500 micrograms per kilogram body weight. For each treatment group, there were 6 cattle. And here are the colors, gray for control, blue for dormectin, and green for ivermectin, will remain consistent throughout the remainder of the presentation. Dung was collected from each individual cow every week for a total of 8 weeks post-treatment with veterinary parasiticides. The dung from each individual cow was kept separate and held at -20 degrees Celsius until it was to be placed in the field. Prior to being placed in the field, the dung was allowed to defrost for a period of 24 hours. Placing our dung packs out in the field, we followed a protocol outlined in Float 1998, which consisted of a styrofoam plate, which was 21 centimeters in diameter. The plate was covered with a 2-centimeter bed of sand, and each plate had a 0.5-liter defrosted dung pack placed on it. The plates were placed in a randomized grid design in a pasture without grazing cattle, which was adjacent to a pasture where there actually were cattle grazing. The plates were remained in the field for a period of 48 hours, upon which time the pat and the plate was picked up, placed in an 11-liter white plastic bucket, which was fitted with a fine mesh sleeve, which prevented emerging insects from escaping. These buckets were monitored weekly, and upon emergence, adult insects were aspirated, stored in 70% alcohol, and later identified the order. When we got our data, we square root transformed our data and ran a repeated measures MANOVA using a PROC mix function in SAS. Here's our data. This figure represents the effect of veterinary parasiticide residues on insect emergence by order. On our x-axis, we have the orders of insects that emerge from our dung packs. On the y-axis, we have mean insect emergence. Gray bars represent control, blue bars are for dormectin, and green bars are for ivermectin. As we can see here, veterinary parasiticides had no negative impacts on diptera emergence. However, in Hymenoptera, we see a significant effect of emergence, but it's reverse of what we have hypothesized. we can see that there are higher rates of insect emergence for the Hymenoptera in doramectin and control treatments than in, doramectin and ivermectin treatments, in comparison to control treatments. And we can see in Coleoptera there were no negative impacts of veterinary parasiticides. This figure shows the effect of veterinary parasiticides on diptera emergence by week. On the x-axis, we have weeks post-treatment, ranging from weeks 1 through 8, and on the y-axis, we have mean insect emergence. What we can see here is the gray boxes represent control, the blue diamonds represent doramectin, and the green triangles represent ivermectin. We expect to see higher rates of insect emergence in controls, and we did not observe this. We also expected to see a reduction in insect emergence in weeks 1 through 3, which were closer to treatment time with veterinary parasiticides, and we did not see this either. This figure represents, again, veterinary parasiticides, but on Hymenoptera emergence, with the axis remaining the same, as the x-axis being weeks post-treatment, 1 through 8, y-axis is immune insect emergence. We can see that, again, control did not yield a higher mean insect emergence, and also there was not a reduction in earlier weeks, 1 through 3, with treatment of veterinary parasiticides. This figure represents the veterinary parasiticide effect on Coleoptera. Again, we expected control to be higher, which we did not see, and then we did not see a reduction in earlier weeks, even though this was only over 3 weeks, the rest of the data is still to be analyzed. So to summarize our results, we saw a treatment effect, but it was a reverse treatment effect and was present in the Hymenoptera. We saw no effect of time and no effect of herd. So some reasons why we might have seen this reverse effect in Hymenoptera. Literature reports that diptera larvae that are subjected to moderate levels of veterinary parasiticide residues in the dung do not experience the deleterious effects that they would if there were higher concentrations of veterinary parasiticides in the dung. And also, diptera larvae that are present in the dung that are subjected to veterinary parasiticide residues are not able to encapsulate the parasitoid eggs. Both of these mean that you could have a higher yield or higher emergence of parasitoids, which was conclusive what we saw. So our conclusion was that we have no reason to believe that veterinary parasiticides lead to negative effects for dung-dwelling insect species in the Columbia Basin in central Washington. And with that, I'd like to thank Dr. Dave Horton, Chris White, and the research technicians for aiding me in my research, and the WSU Department of Entomology for funding. And with that, I'll take any questions. Correct. Correct. We were looking at the insects. We were usually looking out for 48 hours because of environmental conditions in Prosser. It's really dry, really hot. So we were trying to reduce the amount of desiccation that would happen on these plates. So we left them out for 48 hours, which allowed insects to come and colonize, overposit, and then they left. No, we were looking at just in that 48-hour time frame because we had run an earlier trial and left it out there for successive days. And what happened was because of the environmental condition, like I said, being on that plate lifted off the soil, not much rain falling, we had high rates of desiccation and just mortality across the board. Everything was killed because of the environmental conditions. We ran this experiment in late July out in Prosser, and in the field in Prosser, Washington, pretty warm then. Right. Face flies and horse flies, there was a really large range. Some packs we would see 10 to 20, and then some packs we'd have 80, 90 of face fly. We didn't get much horn fly at all, if any, on the path, so insect emergence was pretty low. And again, I think this is attributed to the time of year we ran this experiment. It would be beneficial to run this experiment, I think, early in the spring when conditions are more favorable to overposition and having, larger numbers of overposition out in the field when it's cooler and not as dry. How much sand? I use 2 centimeters to evenly cover the plate. So it's about, just enough sand that would allow developing insects to leave the pad and then go pupating the sand to finish their development.
Aren't they specific just for parasites, and do they also kill insects?
Well, the parasiticides, that's like really what's going on with the literature. There's parasiticides that are aimed at controlling nematodes and such, and they also target some Diptera. But the parasiticides are reported to have negative effects on non-target insects. So we're talking about dung beetles, and that's a great concern because of their benefit into, you know, maintaining pasture health.
So I think if there's, well, I mean, you probably want flies around it. If
it
kills flies,
would
that kind of be a positive side effect?
Well, if it kills flies, that would be a positive side effect, but if it's killing beetles as well, then these beetles are not being able to recycle these dung caps and all the nutrients back into the pasture, and then also, when the dung cap sits there and it's not decomposed, then it's killing the potential feed or forage that's around for the cattle. So, you kind of have, you know, double-edged sword there. That's a great question. I feel that I think environmental factors of where the study took place could be a reason. I also think that possible resistance to maybe veterinary parasiticides. These cattle producers have been applying these parasiticides for a while, so there could be a component of resistance buildup within the species. No studies have been done within the Pacific Northwest, let alone the inland Pacific Northwest, addressing these impacts, so we don't really have any baseline data out there as to why exactly or what would we expect with these dynamic parasiticides. Thank you.